Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for another day of your grace and your mercy. We thank you for this time that we have to come together and to fellowship around your word. And we thank you for your word that you preserve for us so we might be able to study it. And then we pray, Lord, that as we study it and as we read it, that you would give us the faith to believe it and to just trust it. Because we know that's what's lacking in the world today. There's so many that say they know you and know the word, but yet then they take the word and they change it around and try to make it mean what they want it to mean instead of believing that it is the word of God without error. So we do thank you for your word and for the fact that we can communicate with you on a daily basis. We can listen to you and we can talk back to you in prayer and have a wonderful fellowship with you. Thank you again for the saints that's with us this evening. We pray the Holy Spirit will take your words and bless our hearts, and we'll be careful to give you the praise. We ask it all in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and for his sake we pray. Amen. Okay, Book of Acts. We're going to read the same three verses that we did last week. As I told you, we were going to be here for 2 or 3 weeks in this passage of Scripture, because there's so much there and we're not even going to get it all anyway. But we do want to look at some of the other things again. And I apologize ahead of time. If I read some verses sometimes and I leave out a word or miss one, I really hate that. But I'm having a little problem with my eyes. And so sometimes I'll miss one, and I don't do that intentionally. So I'm going to try to read slow and make sure that I get every word exactly as it is in the Bible. So if you'd like to check along with us tonight, and we'll read in Acts chapter 3 and verses 19 through 21. Acts chapter 3, verses 19 through 21. And we're going to be studying those three verses. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. And we talked about that last week, but I closed with asking you a question to be thinking about this week as we started our study. And that's especially with the two phrases that the Apostle Peter uses here in verse 19 and verse 20. And those phrases are this. In verse 19, it's the times of refreshing. And in verse 20, it's called the times of restitution of all things. Now, it's interesting that those words or those phrases, the times of restitution and the times of refreshing, are only used twice in your Bible. Both of them used right here by the Apostle Peter. That's the only time we find them. So it's one of those things that we can't take those and run a lot of other verses that have the same things in it to try to get a meaning for it. So what we do is we look up the meaning of the word and make sure we understand what the word means, and then we go to the Bible and use it in the context of where it is, as we usually do in our study, and then determine exactly what it is that the Apostle Peter is trying to tell us. Now, the times of refreshing, the word refreshing means reviving or cooling or relief after fatigue or suffering. And so that's pretty simple. We know what that means. A lot of people use that sometimes as they talk about maybe on a hot day getting a nice cool drink. It refreshes. So it cools you and it builds you up and gets you over a time of fatigue or suffering. So sometimes people that work in the automobile business, they use the term sometimes, and you might see this when you look at an ad maybe for an automobile, especially an older one, and they might say, well, it has a fresh engine. Or the engine has been freshened in this car. And so what they mean, that engine has been rebuilt, and even though the car might be old, the engine has been refreshed. It's powered up, and it operates like new. So refreshing, that's pretty easy to understand. Well, the same with restitution. The word restitution means made by restoring a specific thing taken away or lost. Like the idea of restoring something back to a person. You know, in Israel's law system, in Israel's program, they had a very unique system. You know, God had determined to give the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel a particular piece of land. And in that land over in Palestine, it is to be theirs, and he divided that out. And so in that doing that, he also allowed them, though, to trade and to maybe sometimes barter in such a way that they might lose some of that land, but they had a what they called a 50-year jubilee. And in that time, no matter who owned that piece of land, it was to come back to the original owner. So God had a way of fixing it so that things were to be stay where he intended for them to be. So he restored it back to the person that he had originally given it to. So when we look at that in the light of these two verses of Scripture, and we read them, and we've been going over this now, and we've been looking at the book of Acts, in the light of there's two primarily thoughts along this line. Number one is that on the day of Pentecost in the early book of Acts right here, we have the beginning of the church, the body of Christ. We have the birth of the church, and we have it being empowered with the Holy Spirit and beginning to go forth and work like it's supposed to. And the other thought being this, which is entirely different, and that is that the early part of the book of Acts is dealing with the nation of Israel and is dealing with Israel's last times. In other words, Peter says that what's taking place on the day of Pentecost was what Joel had prophesied back there, and it's the last days of Israel. So we believe that and take that view. That in the first eight chapters of the book of Acts, as we're looking through that, we're going to see that this is a program of dealing with the nation of Israel. And so when we look at that and remember what is the program with Israel at this time, what is the gospel to Israel, and so we ask ourselves then, well, what at this time would Israel be going through? So when he says that God is going to send Jesus back, or Peter does, he says that God is going to send Jesus back, and so that will be at his second coming. And so what has Israel lost, or what have they suffered that they need to get back? And we can find something for that. But we ask this question. If then indeed this particular passage of Scripture is to the church today, the body of Christ, I'd like to ask you a question. What is suffering and tired and has lost something? Is it the church, the body of Christ, or is it the nation of Israel? Can the church, the body of Christ, at this point in time, answer that question? Yes, we've suffered and we've lost something. Because if that's true, then something doesn't make sense to me, because the church, the body of Christ, according to that teaching, would have started on the day of Pentecost, and Acts chapter 3 takes place in just a few days after that, so you've only had the church in existence for a few days, and yet it's already been suffered and it's lost and it needs to be restored back. Well, that doesn't make sense, does it? That should be obvious. And so when we talk about these times that Peter says, well, the Lord's going to come back and he's going to do these things. Now, some of you are probably thinking, well, this is not taking place right now, though. When he talks about the heaven must receive until, he's talking about something in the future. Well, that's true, but according to prophecy, these things that Peter's talking about in the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is only at the max about 8 years in their future. According to Daniel's prophecy, if you go back and set you up a timeline and you study those years out, you understand that 483 of those years had passed out of the 490 when Messiah is cut off from the cross. 483 years is filled. That only leaves that last week of Daniel's, and then we go to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the 490 years. Well, that's only a very short period of time. The problem is, you say, yeah, but that's been 2,000 years ago. Well, that's true. Something happened. We know. When we get over to Acts chapter 9, we're going to find that the things that God had prophesied and back there with the nation of Israel, these things did not happen. That's what leads some people to read this passage of Scripture and try to change some words in it to make it say something that it doesn't say. And we've already talked about that issue, but we believe the verses mean exactly what they say. Peter says you need to repent, you need to have your sins blotted out, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Now, I don't think I read that just right, did I? Let me go back and do it again, verse 19. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. So these were things that were going to come and when they come, it was necessary for Israel's sins to be blotted out. And so what then do we connect up these two phrases with? What are they looking at? It couldn't have started on the day of Pentecost, as we said, for the church, but it could have for the nation of Israel. There is another thought, and some say, well, this is not talking about the church, the body of Christ, or it's not talking about the nation of Israel either, but it's talking about mankind as such. In other words, mankind fell back there in the Garden of Eden because of what Adam did. And so there's going to come a time when God is going to restore all that back like it was there with Adam. Well, you know, that sounds pretty good, and that makes sense, because we know that all the creation did fall because of Adam and because of that sin. And certainly things changed. But the question is this, if that's what he's talking about, then I want to ask you another question here. At this point in time, we've had, from the coming of John the Baptist up until this particular time, a little over 3.5 years of ministry. In all this ministry, we've only had the gospel preached to a particular group of people. So I ask you, if this is talking about the restoring of all mankind, and the restoration of the earth back to the perfect condition, then why was the gospel only preached to a particular group of people? Now, what I mean by that is this, and let's come back and look at some scriptures. Let's come back to Matthew chapter 10, and look at verses 5 and 6. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 5 and 6, and then we're going to go to Matthew chapter 15. Pardon me. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 5, and then Matthew chapter 15. We'll read these two passages of Scripture, and you'll understand what I'm talking about immediately, I think. Matthew chapter 10, verses 5 and 6. It says, "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Well, now, wait a minute. If we're talking about this is a message that's to lost mankind, all of them out there, and restoring all of man back into favor with God, like it was in the original creation itself, why does he only send the good news to the lost sheep of the house of Israel? Well, I hope the light comes on. That should give you a clue. That couldn't be who that's talking to, could it? The gospel is only to this select group of people out here who are identified in the Scripture as God's chosen people, His elect. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 24. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 24 says this, "But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." So Jesus Christ at this point in time, according to the good news for the people that's receiving this news at this time, this message is on to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So we've got to conclude that when we come back to Acts chapter 3 and look at these verses and we talk about this times of refreshing, this is when somebody's going to be refreshed now and somebody's going to be relieved of their suffering. And this times of restitution, when something's going to be restored back to somebody that suffered a loss, we have to say, well, those two terms have got to be identified at this point in time with the lost sheep of the house of Israel or with the nation of Israel. And so as we begin to look at that and we say, well, that explains then why the kingdom at this time is not the gospel of the grace of God, but it's the gospel of the kingdom. That's the message that's been preached since John the Baptist. It's still the message all the way up to this point in time, because the issue here is that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back. I mean, when he talks about in the passage of Scripture, the Lord Jesus Christ coming back, what is he talking about? Well, he's talking about him coming back to set up the kingdom, because that's what all prophecy is about, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you know there's two comings in the Bible. The first one is him coming to die, to be the Redeemer for the nation of Israel. There's five mandates that he satisfies, or he's going to satisfy for the nation of Israel. And the first one is to be a Redeemer. The next one is going to be the Deliverer. And when he comes back to set up that kingdom. And so the gospel of the kingdom is only to Israel because they had lost all the rights and the privileges of the kingdom God had promised them. Now, we need to go back all the way back in your Bible to the beginning and get that issue and make sure we understand that. why it is that the gospel of the kingdom is only preached to the nation of Israel. So I want you to come back into Genesis to chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, and I want to look at verses 1 and 2. Genesis chapter 12, and we want to look at verses, well, look at verses 1, 2, and 3. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1, 2, and 3. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless him that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." According to the Abrahamic covenant, God had called Abraham, and he was going to make him a blessing. He was going to make him a great nation. Now, we know that God actually made a lot of different nations through Abraham. There are a lot of descendants of Abraham, but there's only one seed line that was to go through there that he was going to make that great nation out of. And that great nation that he was going to make was to be a kingdom. If you'll come over now to Exodus chapter 19 and look at the nation of Israel as they began to be formed as this nation that God promises Abraham he's going to make of them. And they're in the wilderness, and they've come out of Egypt now. And so what God is going to do is he's going to make a covenant with them, and he's going to tell them what you're going to be. And notice this, Exodus chapter 19 and verse 6. He says, "And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, and an holy nation." See, they are a particular type of nation, and that's a holy nation, but that's a nation that is a kingdom of priests. "These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel." So as God begins to deal with that nation there and build them into that great nation, and you know the story of the nation of Israel if you've studied your Bible, how they become a great nation there, and under David as their first great king, and then under Solomon, and they never get to the point where they really have occupied all of the land that God had given to Abraham, and they never reach that status that God had promised to give them. But the reason for it was because they didn't follow God, and they didn't stay true to him through faith, and he had to put them under a law system to try to teach them as little children and to bring them up and to get them to look to the Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that was to come. But anyway, the nation of Israel sinned, and so they lost all that God had promised to them. So when you come to the point in time where we're at in Acts, what really is Israel at this point in time looking for? Well, Christ has come now, and he's died on the cross, he's paid for their sins, he's redeemed them, so that now he can bring them back into the land, he can restore them back to kingdom status, and he can refresh them and do all these things that he's promised to do. And so this verse is looking now to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we go back to Acts chapter 3 and verses 19 through 21 again, the issue is, and we'll just read verses 20 and 21 there. Acts chapter 19, verses 20 and 21. Peter said, "And he shall sin." In other words, Israel needed to have their sins blotted out when he comes back. Is he coming back? Well, there's no doubt about that. Prophecy tells us clearly about the two comings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes people get the two confused when they go back and they study in prophecy, but there's clearly two comings of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what the first coming has already taken place, so Peter clearly has convinced them already, you've done the wrong thing, you've committed murder, you've crucified your Messiah, and then he reduces that down to manslaughter, but he says, now you need to repent. You need to change your mind about this, and you need to get your sin taken care of, because that kingdom is going to be set up. Jesus Christ is going to come back, and when he comes back, you need your sins taken care of. So verse 20 and 21 is talking about that second coming, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all of his holy prophets since the world began. So again, we see that great distinction, and we went through this in our last couple of lessons about understanding that these are things that have been spoken over and over and over. You know, you've got Genesis all the way up to the book of Malachi dealing with these things, and all the way through Matthew dealing with these prophecies concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, first and second comings. Now, he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. The question is, well, when is he going to send him? You know, the Apostle Paul, you know, we talk to people about rightly dividing the word of Scripture and making sure they understand that Paul's epistles are our epistles today in the body of Christ. But you know, there's some of Paul's epistles that's for the nation of Israel too. So we even have to rightly divide his epistles. And Paul gives us some light on the future out there as far as the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ as it pertains to Israel. And so he says this, Romans 7 and verses 25 through verse 29. Romans chapter 11 and verse 25. He says, For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. So we know something that has happened to Israel right now, because God today is dealing with the nations out here, all the nations in the church, the body of Christ. But notice what he says in verse 26. And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. The Deliverer, who is that? Well, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's at his second coming. The first coming was as a redeemer. The second coming as a deliverer. And he shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. That's that new covenant. When he's going to take away their sins and put them out there in the sea of forgetfulness. He won't remember them anymore. He's going to deal with them through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in verses 28 and 29, he says, as concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. For the gifts and calling of God are without a repentance. God is not through with the nation of Israel. But you know, the failure to rightly divide the Word of God has caused so much confusion today in the world, and lack of understanding about what God is really doing today and what He's going to do. They can't separate the kingdom teachings from the church teaching today. And so when they get the passage of Scripture like this right here, they can't take them to mean just exactly what they say, and so they have to give them some kind of a spiritual application. Many of you know what I'm talking about when we talk about the times of refreshing and the times of restitution. They want to put that in this dispensation of grace, and so to do that, you've got to take them to mean something other than they're not really saying. Now, when we understand that the Apostle Peter is addressing Israel, and he's addressing the issue of you need to have your sins taken care of. So when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back and these things begin to be put back into place and the kingdom is set up, you want to go into that kingdom. And remember again that, as we've said, the kingdom from this point in time, according to prophecy, is only 8 years in the future out here. We've got one-year period of time in here from Pentecost to Acts chapter 9. And then the tribulation period should start. And then we've got 7 years of tribulation, and then the kingdom should be set up. So they realize, and that's the reason that we see in this, as this group gets so close to understanding here and the Spirit's working, that you have 3,000 added and you have 5,000 added and you have the number multiplied, and it begins to grow at a real fast rate, even though it's a very small percentage of this great nation of people. But the kingdom is what's at issue. So these things, these two terms, the times of refreshing and the times of restitution, are things that's going to take place at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. They'll all be fulfilled when He comes back to set up His kingdom. So now, that begs us to come to this point, if you will. What's going to take place when the times of refreshing and the times of restitution begin to operate? What does this really mean for the nation of Israel? And this is where it's so critical for you to understand that this is the nation of Israel's message and not ours today. These things are real. There are so many There are so many verses of Scripture in the Bible that teaches what's going to take place when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. It talks about this refreshing, and it talks about this restitution. It talks about nation of Israel being relieved from all their problem and their suffering and their labors, and that they're going to have this kingdom restored to them. They just think of the verses of Scripture that should run through your mind that has to do with the fact of what the nation of Israel has lost and has given up. And they're looking, and they're looking. Remember what it says over in the book of Hebrews, I believe it is, about Abraham. He was looking for a city, but he never got there. But he died looking for he died in faith, knowing that he was going to get that one. There's things that the nation of Israel are going to get. It's promised to them. It's going to take place. And it's real and literal. That kingdom is a real, literal, earthly, Davidic kingdom that God promised to the nation of Israel, and it's one day going to be set up. Now, what I want us to do is run a few verses right quick to look at some of these things that when these times of refreshing begin to take place and the time of restitution takes place, I want you to look at some things that's going to happen on this earth that those things are talking about. Remember, it's times. It's times of refreshing and times of restitution. There's a series of events and things that's going to take place. And so I want to run through about 8 or 9 of them with you right quick in some scriptures. And the first one I want you to understand is this, is Christ is going to be Israel's king. When he comes back, he was presented as a king. When the wise men come to looking for that little Christ child, who were they looking for? Do you remember? They come looking for him who is born King of the Jews. And when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back the second time, he's going to be a king. And he's going to be a king that's going to take control of the government of all this earth. Boy, will things change. So you talk about a time of refreshing. Remember, at this particular time right now, the nation of Israel is under bondage to the Roman Empire. And they're practically in slavery. They're probably having a better time right at this particular time than they have had. And in fact, a lot better time than they've had since then, because they've gone through some real terrible times. But I want you to look at this issue. I want you to come back in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 23. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes back the second time, there's quite a difference from His second coming and His first coming. The first coming, as we said, was to be the Redeemer. The second time to be the Deliverer. And following the Deliverer, He's going to be their Avenger. And there's some things going to begin to take place on this earth that's going to rectify a lot of problems and give relief to the nation. The first thing he's going to do is he's going to take care of this government, though. In Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 5. Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 5. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 5, it says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth." Now that's what a lot of them expected the Lord Jesus Christ to do when he came the first time. Because remember, at that time, the book of Jeremiah had been written for 500-600 years. And so they were familiar with that. The Lord quoted the book of Jeremiah many times. In Isaiah chapter 11. Come to Isaiah chapter 11 and look at another passage of Scripture. And as I said, we're just going to look at a few here and there because there are so many. And as you begin your study on this, you can find these verses and begin to put them together and understand what these times really are. In Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 2 through 5, Isaiah chapter 11 verses 2 through 5, Isaiah says, "And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and of might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins." Oh, he's going to change things. You know, when we look at the world today and we think about all the corruptness in our government and stuff, we kind of long for something like that, don't we? But remember, this is the times of refreshings and things that God promised to Israel. And so we need to be careful about trying to apply something to us today that God is talking about for those people. The second thing we want you to understand about these times of refreshing is that he will remove this war and all this fighting and stuff that's going on. In Isaiah chapter 9, again, let's look at a verse of scripture there. Isaiah chapter 9. And then we're going to look at the book of Micah for a verse there. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. All of you are familiar with this passage of scripture. And so many today quote this verse of scripture of our Lord Jesus Christ when he came the first time. For unto us a child is born. That was at his first coming. Unto us a son is given. That was at his first coming. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it, and to establish it with just judgment and with justice from henceforth forever. From henceforth even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The first part of that is his first coming, when he comes as that child. And the second part of it, talking about the government upon his shoulder and those names that he's given, that's going to take place at his second coming. In Micah chapter 4 and verse 3. Micah chapter 4 and verse 3. Oh, what times of refreshings and what things is going to be when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back the second time. Micah chapter 4 verse 3. And they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make him afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts hath spoken it. Yes, wouldn't that be wonderful? You know, we get into a time today in our world when it's getting hard to even find a place where you can be safe and comfortable, isn't it? But just to think about the nation of Israel, though, for them, what they've gone through and what this really means to them. These times of refreshing to relieve that fatigue and suffering that they were going through. The third thing that we need to look at is this times of refreshing is that the wilderness that Israel was first started in out there when they come out of Egypt. You know, something's going to happen to that. If you'll turn back to Isaiah chapter 35. Isaiah chapter 35. And we'll look at that wilderness. All of you remember what happened to Israel when they come out of Egypt and they were out there in the wilderness roaming around for 40 years. And it was not really a pleasant place. They didn't have anything to eat and they didn't hardly have water. And so God had to provide those things for them because it was kind of a wilderness. But you know, the Lord says something about that wilderness and what's going to take place one of these days. Isaiah chapter 35, and what we'll read is verses 1 and 2. Isaiah chapter 35 and verses 1 and 2. He said, the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. So that wilderness is going to take quite a change. You know what's going to happen to the Mount of Olives when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back the second time. It's going to split right down the middle and form a great river down through there that's going to water that whole fertile crescent down through there, and things are going to come alive. And so it's going to be a time of renewing and refreshing in the sense of the land. Number four, it's going to be a great time for the nation of Israel in their physical bodies. It's going to be a time when physical infirmities are going to be removed. And we alluded to that when we first started there in Acts chapter 2 and the fact that the kingdom program is being set up, and that is with the healings and the driving out of the demons and the spirits and so forth. Because remember that to go into the kingdom program and into the kingdom in the land, a person had to be physically whole. They couldn't go in with a blemish. And so just like Peter and John healed the lame man there, and he began to walk and to leap and carry on. Those are the things that are going to have to be changed. And in Isaiah chapter 35, maybe you're still there. If you are, chapter 35, look at verses 5 and 6. Isaiah chapter 35, and look at verses 5 and 6. He says, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. The physical infirmities, the eyes of the blind, the ears of the dumb, the lame man is going to leap as an hart. And we saw a preview of that, as we said there, in the earlier part of Acts in our study. Those things will take place. Those are one of the times of refreshing that's going to come on the nation of Israel. Number five is that the wild animals and the things won't hurt or destroy in Israel. In Isaiah chapter 11, if you'll come back there to Isaiah chapter 11, and this passage really jumped out at me today in thinking about something that I saw on YouTube, and maybe some of you saw that, and that was the giant rattlesnake this past week or so that was captured in Jacksonville, Florida. And maybe some of you saw that fellow, but he was over 15 foot long, and they were talking about the fact that his head was so big and the fangs and the venom that he carried, he had enough venom in one strike to kill 40 men. And to know that the time would come when something like that couldn't hurt you. And so, again, these times of refreshing, though, are talking about something for Israel, but that just impacted my mind at the time about that. Isaiah chapter 11, notice what he says in verses 6 down through 9. Isaiah chapter 11, verses 6 through 9. He says, "The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the cockatrice den." But then notice what verse 9 says. "They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." I want to stop for a second and inject a point here that we need to understand. These things that we're talking about, these times of refreshing, has to do with the nation of Israel. They're going to impact the whole earth, but they're primarily over in the land of Palestine, the place he called my holy mountain, and the nation of Israel. And as we go through these verses, if you keep looking at these things, you'll get that idea that he's talking about Israel. Okay? Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 25. I know there's a lot of people today that look forward to the second coming of the Lord, and they know these verses of Scripture, and they know these things are going to happen, and so they think about those things and think, well, how good that would be. Now, folks, if you really know who you are today in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're a member of the church, the body of Christ, you know where your home is at. It's not here on this earth. It's in heaven. And so we're looking for a new body in an entirely different place. But these things pertain to Israel. So look again what he says in Isaiah 65 and verse 25. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 25. "The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord." These are parts of that times of refreshing in the time of restitution. Also, he's going to restore the land back over there in such a way that what we would call unemployment today, and the situation we've got is bad in our country, but unemployment and poverty and stuff like that, that's going to vanish away. That won't be here. If you look there in Isaiah chapter 65 and come back to verse 21, Isaiah chapter 65 and verses 21 through 23. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 21 through 23. "And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble. For they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them." Again, make sure we understand that these times of refreshing and these times of restitution are things that has to do with the nation of Israel to be realized at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, at that time, turn back to Isaiah chapter 2. Another thing that we need to understand about these times of refreshing, there's going to be a tremendous change in the land because of the Lord being here and being the king. And the seventh thing that's going to happen is people are going to, they're going to be anxious to listen to the Word of God. Today it's hard to get people together to listen to the Word of God. If you get a few, you're real lucky. But it's hard to get someone when you just sit down and read the Bible and study the Bible and try to rightly divide it and understand the things for you. But in this time, when the Lord comes back, things are going to change. People are going to have a different attitude. In Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, and it shall come to pass in the last days. Now, what did we just say Acts chapter 2 is about? What did Peter say on the day of Pentecost? It shall come to pass in the last days. It shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, into the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of God from Jerusalem. Well, you don't have to go to Jerusalem today to get the word of the Lord, do you? We've got it from us. But again, this is something of our time that's going to happen in the nation of Israel at the second coming of the Lord, when that kingdom is set up. And then another thing is, not will people just flock to hear the word of God, but the Lord Jesus Christ will be honored. He'll get the honor and glory that's due him. He's going to be exalted. If you look there in Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 11, Isaiah chapter 2, verse 11, he says, And the lofty looks of men shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. Oh, if that was today. The haughtiness of men today that think that they are better than God, but the day is going to come when that won't happen. Well, there's a lot of other things that we could say, but one other thing I want you to understand, that this is going to be a time when the Lord is here, that the nation of Israel is going to, these times of refreshing and so forth are going to be set up. I want you to turn over to Isaiah chapter 65. When these times begin to take place, the nation of Israel is going to start asking the Lord for things and pray for things like so many do today. But it's going to be a totally different response time than what people get today. Acts chapter 65 and verse 24. Pardon me. Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 24. Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 24. You'll have a hard time finding 65 in the book of Acts, won't you? Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 24. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. That's pretty fast, isn't it? And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Now, you might ask yourself tonight, well, how can all these things change like this so much and it just be for the nation of Israel? Well, it's not just for the nation of Israel. Remember the Abrahamic covenant back there where we started in Genesis chapter 12 with Abraham? I will bless thee, and I will bless them that bless thee. You see, it's going to be for all nations. But God's purpose and plan, according to prophecy, was to set up the nation of Israel in a kingdom, and they were to be the channel of blessings to all the Gentiles, to all the nations. And as you read through these prophetic passages, you see over and over about God blessing and bringing those nations of Israel back into that place. They are to be a kingdom of priests. You remember that in Exodus 19 that we read? A kingdom of priests. They are the whole nation of Israel is to be a kingdom of priests. And that's to minister to all the Gentiles on the face of this earth. They're going to do that for 1,000 years. And they're going to do it under totally different circumstances than you and I try to minister today. And we say, well, how is it that all these things can be changed like this? These things that we're talking about, you know, all these different changes that God's going to... How is it He can do that and make things work so good? Well, you know, there's one simple thing you've got to keep in mind right here, that lest we forget and it causes some confusion. You remember in the tribulation period, when the tribulation period's over and that last 7 years is finished, and that last time there, that great and terrible day of the Lord is finished up. Do you remember what happens? Turn over to the book of Revelation, chapter 20. Revelation, chapter 20, and verse 1. And here's something that takes place just prior to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, or maybe at the same time as He comes back to set up that kingdom. And when you think about this, you say, oh, well, now I understand how all these things can take place. It's pretty simple, isn't it? Well, here's what takes place. Revelation chapter 20 and verses 1 through 3. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and the great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. I'm so thankful tonight that Satan is going to be put in that bottomless pit, but he's not there today. I had a fellow tell me some years ago, when we were in a little debate about some things going on, he said that 1,000 years was now, that Satan was in the bottomless pit. He said if Satan wasn't bound up in the chains, he'd come out here and he'd just destroy all of us that believed in Christ. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches. But when we realize that something is going to take place during that tribulation period, and that is the binding of Satan and putting that bottomless pit, he's not going to be out there to deceive the nations. And so that's the reason that all these things can be put into place. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign. And don't think now for a second that this is talking about a perfect utopia, because the kingdom reign of the Lord Jesus Christ is when the nation of Israel is going to be put in their land, and these things are going to take place over there, and it's going to affect the earth. But there's going to still be people living on this earth, and there's still going to be some bad things going on this earth, and there's going to be people that's going to die because they sin. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to pronounce judgment on them right away, and they're going to die. And so this is not the time of heaven as we think about of sinless perfection, because that's coming later. That's where you and I will be when all this is taking place in our new bodies. And so I hope you understand this and can get these times of restitution and the times of refreshing, how it relates to the nation of Israel, how it works real well with the kingdom program, and how it works with the new covenant that God made with the nation of Israel. When we understand that, then we can clearly see that this is a passage of Scripture not dealing with the church today, the body of Christ, but with the nation of Israel at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Shall we pray? Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your word. We thank you that you preserved it for us, that we might be able to study it together, and then we might be blessed by it. And we thank you for all the spiritual blessings we have in heavenly places. Help us to realize who we are in you and all the things that we've got, and separate those things from the nation of Israel. We've got so much more. We've got it all by your grace, and we have it all to appropriate now if we just get into your word and study it and let that word dwell in us and let it just come alive in us. And we could understand all that we have in you, and we wouldn't want to be in Israel's program. So thank you, Lord. Thank you again for the saints that's faithful to come. Be careful to give you the praise. We ask it in Jesus' name, and for his sake we pray. Amen.